The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with you today. Lots coming up in the next segment. About 7:30 or so, we will be joined by Republican candidate for Attorney General John Kellner. And coming up in an hour, we will be joined by Heidi Gnall, one of the Republicans vying to be the next governor of Colorado. But we begin our series of candidate interviews, statewide candidate interviews for the day, by being rejoined here on 710 KNUS by none other than U.S. Senate candidate Deborah Flora. Good morning, Deborah. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jimmy. Great to be with you. I really appreciate it. Great to talk to our awesome 710 KNUS listeners. I miss talking to them on the air.
I am sure that they miss listening to you on the air. But hey, they get to hear you now in capacity as U.S. Senate candidate. But before we get to your candidacy for Senate, let's put on a separate hat. And I know you want to keep these separate, but since I got you on and since I was in your documentary, I make an appearance in Whose Children Are They? Let me just say, incredible work by you and your husband, Jonathan, on that film. I really enjoyed it, and it covered so much ground on what's happening in our public school system today.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. First of all, thank you for making your movie debut in our movie. I do appreciate
it. It was cool being on a movie theater screen. I never imagined that would happen, so thank you.
You got it. Well, it was part of a comprehensive expose covering what's really going on in our schools. We spent over 2 years, over 120 hours of footage, over 85 interviews across the country, dragging into the light what's really going on, because we realized the best thing that we can do is empower parents, grandparents, concerned citizens to stand together for the good of the children. And so we were really gratified that after all that labor, it premiered in over 760 theaters nationwide, and we'll be announcing next week the next window where people can see it. But you know what? That's the kind of fight that I'm going to take to every issue facing our country, whether it's parental rights, whether it is just individual liberty of all sorts. And it's really an extension of that. That's what this is one of the things that propelled me into my run for the U.S. Senate, is realizing how much is threatened by the overreach of government into every single area of our lives.
Sure. Well, and I'll just say as a fun anecdote, as we shift gears, my mother got a text from somebody in Guilderland, New York, that saw the film there that she's known since she was, I think, in fourth grade, and saying, I just saw Jimmy in the movie. That was great. So that was a fun tidbit with somebody from clear across the country is like, oh, wait, what the heck did I just see? So anyway, it was a pleasure to be a part of it. Let's shift gears here. Let's get to the reason I have you on today, because
you
we are 2 weeks away from the Colorado Republican Party State Assembly. Let's get back to basics. Mm-hmm. Who is Deborah Flora, and why are you vying to be Colorado's next senator?
Well, you know, Jimmy, that really is the question, because the good people who are going to be delegates at this state assembly and listeners need to make a decision on basically who is the candidate who has a track record of fighting for what is right, who understands the principles of the Constitution, and who can win in November. That's part of the equation that we've overlooked, it seems like, for far too long in our Republican nomination process, because they call Michael Bennett the luckiest senator on the planet in Washington, D.C., because we just don't run the right kind of candidate. So the reason why I'm running is because, you know, as a 710 KNUS host, I hosted radio on and off for 10 years, and for those 10 years, I held up every single issue to the plumb line of the Constitution and asked the basic question, which is, where did government get out of its role? Where is it circumventing the will and rights of the citizens? And then as the founder of Parents United America, I started that 3.5 years ago as I led rallies at our state capitol against the comprehensive sex ed And then it led to this documentary after introducing curriculum transparency legislation, which was killed in the, you know, our state legislature. So all that combined. And then also when I was at 710, I was a director of public policy. And one of the things that I did was help spearhead our efforts to stop some of the radical agendas in our state capitol, including one of our successes was stopping heroin injection sites, another great idea brought to you by the liberals. So when people are looking at my candidacy, and I do invite them to go to DeborahFlora.com and also on Facebook and Twitter, you know, at Deborah Flora for Colorado, they'll notice that the thing that drives me is every time I see something that is wrong, I do not rest and I cannot rest until I make sure it is brought into the light, until something is done about it. And that really has now led to this run for the U.S. Senate. And finally, at the end of the day, Jimmy, I'm a mom. And when it comes down to what is happening in our country, the crossroads we're at between, honestly, Marxism and freedom, that's really where we are. I can't look my children in the eye without knowing I did everything I could do in my day to stop this overreach of government and get us back in its place.
You talk a lot about education, Deborah Flora. I mean, you just made a documentary about it. It's been a big plank, particularly parents' rights, which is so significant. However, when you're running for a federal office, something that always comes to my mind in this regard is, what do you think the role of the federal government in K through 12 education actually is? To what extent is federal legislation needed to advance things like parents' rights versus pushing more authority, choice, and opportunity down to the state level so that the laboratories of democracy or the republic can make those decisions?
Well, the basic answer, Jimmy, you nailed it, is that the federal government really should have no role in public education K through 12. That was designed from the very, very beginning to be the most perfect example of local control issues. But the reality is, under the Department of Education, which was only started, by the way, in 1979 in a backroom deal between Jimmy Carter and the teachers unions, that's when the federal government started getting into our schools, our families, and our children's upbringing. And that has got to stop. One of the things I can do as a U.S. senator is I'd love to be on the Health and Education Committee. First of all, it'd be great to back up Rand Paul and drag some of the things into the light about COVID and what Dr. Fauci's complicity was in a lot of what happened, but also help shrink the Department of Education down to almost nothing. I mean, to me, the attack on parental rights is just one of many examples of where the basic rights of our citizens have been trampled upon. And so while that's one of the things I care about, I care passionately about releasing our energy sector because we need to be energy net exporters. That would stop a lot of our world problems right now, as well as our economy. I stand up for the Second Amendment, the fact that so many things were shut down. And when, you know, during the shutdown, it was said that churches couldn't be open and small businesses couldn't be open, but big box stores and abortion clinics could be. Things are upside down on every front in our government.
You just mentioned Deborah Flora, Republican candidate for Senate, unleashing the energy sector. I want you to listen to this quick clip from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen just in the last couple of days when she was asked about gas prices.
They're not as high in real terms as they were earlier in this century. And it's conceivable that they could move higher.
The American people are suffering with the skyrocketing cost of fuel. And she's shrugging it off, saying, well, if you actually adjust for Bidenflation, then you end up finding that earlier in the century was more expensive. And I think most Americans are saying it's too expensive. Let us unleash private sector energy resources we have. Right, Deborah?
Yeah, Jimmy, you know what you're hearing there are people who are so out of touch because they've been in Washington, D.C. for too long, like Michael Bennett, who really has been there way too long and grew up in Washington, D.C. The reality is those of us who live in the real world understand that there are people around Colorado right now who are wondering, can I heat my home? Can I put gas in my car? And can I put protein in my children's plates? And the answer for too many of them is no. And that is unacceptable in America in a non-wartime situation. And the reality is it is immoral for us to be sitting on some of the cleanest, least expensive energy sources right here in Colorado, and instead to have a president who's begging the Middle East to give us a little bit more, or for a while was buying millions of barrels of oil, which is dirty oil, bad for the environment, from Russia and fueling Putin's aggression around the world. We can solve really our state, our economy, our country, and many of the world's problems by unleashing one of the greatest assets right here in Colorado, which is clean oil and gas. And by the way, also low sulfur coal right up in Craig in Moffat County. So it's ridiculous. It's just another, you know, spin by out of touch politicians.
One of the roles of the United States senator is to confirm nominees from the president of the United States to be on the United States Supreme Court. So if you become Colorado's next U.S. senator, it wouldn't include Ketanji Brown Jackson among your votes, but you would vote for any future Supreme Court justice so long as you serve as a United States senator. Two-part question. One, what is sort of your litmus test or how you would approach the idea of confirming a justice? What do you look for in a justice? And also, can you define the word woman?
You know what? I can define the word woman, Jimmy. And I think everyone of good common sense, regardless of party, if they're not ideologically driven by radical agenda, of course we can. And if someone who wants to sit in the highest court of our land refuses disingenuously or truly cannot define woman, how can she even define the very basics of law, which are based on right and wrong in our Constitution? It's ridiculous. Everyone knows that this is an identity politics nomination, and we all want the best person for the job. So how do you define the best person for the job? Someone who is an originalist. Our Constitution is the best idea in the governance of mankind in pretty much all of history, because it basically says this: every individual has intrinsic worth and value, and the government has one job and one job only, which is to protect the individual rights of its citizens. That is what we need to stand with, not some, you know, flexible, ever-changing interpretation of a malleable constitution. So I would definitely be looking to confirm justices in that ilk. And by the way, that is one of the lasting legacies of the last presidency. I really appreciate the fact that Merrick Garland is not sitting on the Supreme Court right now.
Yes.
Because he called people like myself, a parent who got activated and helped flip our Douglas County School Board,
right,
a domestic terrorist, while Biden calls the Taliban partners. Mm-hmm. So it's time for the insanity to stop. And I'm so hopeful, because I believe the vast majority of our good fellow citizens see how crazy this all has become.
When that DOJ memo came out about domestic terrorists and using that term to describe parents, that's exactly my thought was, thank God you're not on the United States,
yes,
Supreme Court. And instead, we ended up with Colorado's own Neil Gorsuch on the,
yes,
Supreme Court, thanks to the first of three appointments by President Trump. And that really underscores, Deborah Flora, why it is so important to have control of the United States Senate, because it is so crucial, mm-hmm, to have those originalists on the bench, and especially when we have a Republican president again, God willing, in 2024 election.
Yes,
you need that person in there to have the Senate bolstering their pick and making sure that we get the right person. So here's the big question in Colorado, where we have so many people who are middle of the road, who are free, independent thinkers. They're not just ideological one way or the other. What is your appeal if you're the nominee to those middle-of-the-road folks, to the unaffiliated especially, to bring them over to a Deborah Flora candidacy and to toss Michael Bennett, boring Bennett, aside?
That really is the question, because as you've just heard, you know, and I hope our listeners, you know, have been listening, I am a candidate that, as Jefferson said, is chained to the Constitution. I am firm on the principles. I love the Constitution, Federalist Papers, all of that. But we have to have a candidate who can communicate that clearly to our fellow citizens, 43% unaffiliated voters in Colorado. So the reason why we have failed frequently is we haven't had someone that's been able to translate these eternal and amazing principles into what affects people's lives every single day. That's what I did on my show for so long. It's what I've done through Parents United America, because really I believe the vast majority of our fellow citizens want the same thing. They just want to pursue their dreams, raise their families, know that they can provide for them, that their children are safe. And we have the solutions for all of those problems: the rising crime, the out of control inflation, the radical takeover of every year of our lives. We just need to be able to communicate with them. That's what I've done. And by the way, our next nominee for the U.S. Senate is going to have to be able to debate both the media and Michael Bennett. So we have to have an understanding of that. But they want to join us. We just need to have someone that can communicate, they can see themselves in and recognize the things that matter most to them. And so as we usually do, Jimmy, sometimes we pull out statistics and pie charts and graphs and leave people cold with all of that. It is time for someone with clarity, courage, that can communicate.
Just a few minutes left with our guest, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Deborah Flora. One broad question to answer, though, as briefly as you can. And we touched on some of these issues, so you've already captured some of them. But what would you say are the top three or four topics that people are thinking about and talking about and looking for the next United States senator to address in Colorado? And I don't just mean in the Republican primary, but also in the general election. What are those top three or four issues?
Absolutely. They're the same for Republicans and for unaffiliates and for really any citizen of goodwill. It's safety and security. We've got a porous border where fentanyl is pouring over. We've got the debacle of Afghanistan that led to the aggression in Ukraine that won't stop unless we show ourselves strong. So, and then obviously the security on our streets with rising crime, because we've got another party that's all about defund the police, and it's led to hardship for good people of the state. So safety and security, the economy, an economy that everyone can afford when we've got a 40-year high inflation fueled by completely out of touch energy policies and overspending of the federal government. Biden basically says the way you fight inflation is spend more money, and Bennett votes with him 100% of the time. That has got to stop. And lastly, an education system that puts parents and children back at the center. All of these things are intertwined, by the way, with the clear understanding that government is not supposed to be dictating every area of our lives, but is instead supposed to just protect our freedoms and get out of our way. But those are the three issues, and they resonate with everyone because it's where our hearts are, it's where our lives are, it's where people are hurting, and I am so looking forward to the privilege of hopefully representing the great people of this state.
Final substantive question, and then we'll wrap it up and give you a chance to give your website in a moment. But President Biden is over in Poland right now. This morning, just a little bit ago, he wrapped up his meeting with the Polish president. And this comes a day after he said something that distinctly contradicts his administration. Here's what Biden said.
Let's get something straight. You remember, if you covered me from the very beginning, I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. Sanctions never deter. You keep talking about that. Sanctions never deter.
He's such a liar that even CNBC, NBC, and the rest have been challenging him. Here's a sample.
President Biden reiterating that he did not believe that sanctions were meant to deter from the outset, despite what several members of his administration said as the basis for that strategy.
What is going on vis-a-vis Biden, just in general, and then what do you make of the Ukraine crisis, especially given that he seems not to be on the same page as an administration, or is he just forget? I don't know.
You know what? That's a great question. I think a lot of people say, I don't know, when they hear Biden speak, whether he's simply forgetting or it's a repositioning, because it is failed policy after failed policy after failed policy. Just over 1 year of a Biden presidency has been devastating, not just for the great people of this state and this country, but really for the world. And we can't take much more of it without stopping these agendas by retaking the Senate in November and the House as well, and then retaking the presidency in 24. You know, all of these things show what happens when there's a vacuum of principled leadership or even clarity and understanding of the principles of what's going on. And as far as Ukraine, as I mentioned, it was the absolute debacle of a failed Afghanistan policy that has led to the aggression all over the world really now, China moving on Taiwan. One of the things that we can do right here in Colorado, become energy exporters, not just independent as we once were, but exporters. We'll cut Putin off at the knees, because that is half of his economy and half of that goes to Europe. So, so much that we can do. But honestly, we have to finally have a check and balance for Biden and for Michael Bennett, who votes with him 100% of the time, and votes with Bernie Sanders, by the way, 96% of the time. It's time to say enough, and that's what I'm ready to do when I go to Washington, D.C.
I didn't know that statistic, although it's not surprising, voting with Bernie 96%. Yes. It makes me shudder. Deborah Flora, final question for you. The favorite of every candidate, real briefly, please, where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign, and also just a final quick word?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you everyone who's listening. Please go to DeborahFlora.com. That's DeborahFlora.com. You can also go to my Facebook page, which is Deborah Flora for Colorado. Would love to hear from you. Would love to hear what's on your heart. And most of all, would love your support if you're going to the State Assembly as a delegate. I would love to earn your support so we can retake this seat. And then as we go right on into the primary and the general, because we can do it. But here's the thing I would say, Jimmy. We can't take it for granted. Michael Bennett is not a sure win against us winning against him. We have to be strategic and pick the right candidate who will fight, stand on principle, and can actually win in November by inviting the vast majority of our fellow citizens who are unaffiliated to join us. And then, by the way, we'll not just win the seat. We will see a seismic shift in the political landscape that will last for generations, and the Democrats will rue the day they became so radicalized towards socialism. That's what I will do. That's how I will fight for the great people of this state, and I appreciate the opportunity to earn their support. So go to DeborahFlora.com.
Deborah Flora, again, Republican candidate for United States Senate, up for the Republican nomination in a couple of weeks at the State Assembly on April 9th. Thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
That sounds great, Jimmy. Thank you so much, and thank you again for being a movie star in our documentary.
I appreciate that. What a fun it's too bad my Tay Anderson bits couldn't fit in, but you know, when time happens, you can't necessarily fit it. And not everything stays relevant, but we did talk a lot about Tay Anderson, so you know, it's just times change and evolve in even faster than you realize. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. Coming up next, John Kellner will join us, Republican candidate for Attorney General. It's News Talk 710 KNUS. From his album In the Beginning, it's the great late Stevie Ray Vaughan. This was April 1st, 1980. We're coming up on the 42nd anniversary. He was all of 25 years old right there, singing and playing that git fiddle live at Steamboat 1874 in Austin, Texas, aired live on the radio. Oh, man, those are good old days for music radio, for radio in general, when you could hear a live concert like that from a guy of the guitar prowess of Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's coming up, the anniversary of that next Friday, which, of course, is also the final show of our colleague, our friend, Peter Boyle's Friday, April 1st. No April Fool's joke. After so many years, he's decided to hang it up now, but the legacy that he leaves behind, well, I'll talk about that, is tremendous. And unfortunately, the live show has been sold out at the View House, but you can definitely listen online and on your radio dial. It's going to be a momentous and genuinely historic occasion in all of Colorado radio. Let's get back to our VIP line where we have John Kellner. He is a Republican candidate for Attorney General. I believe he is the only Republican candidate for Attorney General. And he joins me now this morning. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, especially because you had a great new op-ed that you had in the Denver Gazette. And thanks for going to the Gazette as a Gazette columnist. I appreciate that. Along with Michael Allen, you are the 18th Judicial District Attorney for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, Lincoln counties currently. Michael Allen is the DA for Colorado's 4th Judicial District in El Paso County. We'll get to that column in just a moment because it's so crucial and one of the big issues. Deborah Flora even mentioned it in the last segment, which is the fentanyl crisis. But before we get on that, I want to get to the top since you are running to be our nominee on the Republican side for Attorney General. The State Assembly is 2 weeks away. Who is John Kellner and why are you running for AG?
Well, Jimmy, thanks for the introduction. You know, as you mentioned, I'm the district attorney for the 18th Judicial District. I've been a lifelong prosecutor. And as the DA for the most populous judicial district in the state, about 1.1 million people, you know, I bring a unique perspective that is really focused on public safety to the Office of Attorney General. And at a time in Colorado when we're at a 25-year high for violent crime, at a time when we are number one in the country in a bad way for motor vehicle theft, and frankly, as we're dealing with a fentanyl crisis that is killing young people, You know, we need somebody in the Attorney General's office that is focused on public safety, that cares about making Colorado safe again. You know, I'm that candidate. That's the message that I'm bringing across the state of Colorado. We've had just tremendous support for that message. I really think it resonates with folks as, you know, Republicans are talking about kitchen table type issues right now. And we're talking about things like inflation and the cost of living in Colorado and how it's skyrocketed and public safety. You know, these are our prime focuses. And, you know, one of the things, it's very personal to me. This person who served in the Marine Corps, continues to serve as a lieutenant colonel in the reserves. You know, just how valuable our country is, our system of government is, at keeping people safe. You know, I spent time on the streets of Afghanistan in a place where they had a, you know, system of government that could not keep people safe. And so it's really deeply personal to me to work within the justice system to both make it better and protect our communities. That's what I'm going to do as Attorney General.
Well, I think, John, I'm very glad to have you running for Attorney General to go up against Phil Weiser, because you're going to bring a very stark contrast, both in terms of the issues. And again, we'll talk about the fentanyl crisis in just a moment. And that's one of the chief issues that really we need the Attorney General focused on, but also in terms of experience. Make that contrast, please, between your experience and the incumbent's experience and how that has really manifested itself in his tenure so far.
Yeah, the thing I talk about a lot is leadership. You know, my experience in the Marine Corps taught me, of course, to lead from the front. And that means getting out in front of issues before they're at a crisis level like we see with fentanyl. And kind of rewind the clock here back to 2019. You know, there's a bill making its way through the legislature, and it was to decriminalize or defelonize the possession of fentanyl, to make it basically a misdemeanor. So something that, you know, if you're possessing this drug that is, you know, one pill can take somebody's life, but the DEA estimates about 40% of every pill out there has a lethal dose in it, and you could possess up to 4 grams of this substance, which is equivalent to, you know, taking the lives, essentially, of 2,000 people with just 4 grams. You know, the idea was to make that a misdemeanor. And, you know, DAs were out saying, hey, look, this is a bad idea. If you're going to do it, at least accept out fentanyl. It is way too dangerous and deadly. And one would expect the, quote-unquote, chief law enforcement officer for the state of Colorado, a person named Phil Weiser, our current attorney general, to be out there at the legislature, you know, debating this issue and bringing forth the public safety angle of this. But where was he? Nowhere to be found. Absolutely missing in action. You know, he didn't chime in on this crisis until I think it became sort of, you know, politically untenable for him not to. And somewhere around December of last year, he said, hey, you know, we ought to do something about this. 6 years ago, Jenny, I helped a legislator write a bill that would have increased the penalties for dealers that distribute this kind of poison like fentanyl and then cause somebody's death. It would have said, look, if you do that heinous act, you're going to go to prison, and you deservedly so go to prison. You know, 6 years ago, before we're at crisis level. And I'm able to present that perspective because I am in the trenches working with victims. You know, I hear from the parents whose children lost their lives to drugs like fentanyl. And so I'm able to bring that perspective forward before we reach a crisis level.
See,
and that's something that is sorely lacking, I think, at the Attorney General's office.
Well, here's the thing. I say we'll get to the fentanyl crisis in a moment, and then you bring up Phil Weiser's inexperience exacerbating the fentanyl crisis, because it's necessary. It's essential to the question that I just asked you, John Kellner, about comparing or contrasting the experience of somebody who's never been in law enforcement, never been a prosecutor before, was a professor, was in the Obama administration, versus you, a career prosecutor, John Kellner. And I think that distinction is so crucial to this race, as you keep highlighting. Now, let's talk about about the fentanyl crisis a little bit more. What really is fentanyl? What are some of the effects that that can have other than death, and which is a huge one? In fact, it's the biggest killer of those 18 to 45 in the state of Colorado, that's for sure. But in terms of the impact and why anybody would even become addicted to fentanyl, because this is something that, while there was a crisis brewing, and you were aware of this in your prosecution role, John, many of us until the last couple of years weren't really all that familiar with fentanyl.
Right. So fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. And basically what that means is it's, unlike heroin, it's cooked up in a lab. So it's chemically based. And why that's important to the mass producers, the drug dealers of a drug like fentanyl, is that you don't need the land space and the time and effort that it takes to, let's say, grow poppy, you know, harvest that crop and then, you know, produce heroin from it. You don't need, you know, giant fields of coca leaves from which to harvest that and then create ultimately cocaine. You know, you can cook this stuff up in a lab. It is largely cooked up in China and then sent overseas to Mexico, where it is pill pressed by cartels and smuggled across our southern border. And it makes its way into our communities, especially as a sort of high-intensity drug trafficking area, because we've got a lot of interstates that, you know, run through Colorado and, you know, a fairly large population base as well. So it's especially dangerous because, you know, this stuff is meant to be used in a hospital setting primarily under the, you know, guidance of a doctor, because just 2 milligrams of it, right? So just think 2 little grains of sugar from your sugar packet is enough to kill someone. So it's highly regulated in the doctor setting and in the hospital setting. But when they put it into these pills out in Mexico in these labs, you know, there's not a lot of quality control going on here. And they don't really care, you know, whether or not their users ultimately die, because it's so addictive that if you use it a few times, it's going to hook you pretty quickly. So all those things combined make it a very dangerous and, you know, potent and deadly drug.
John Kellner, Republican candidate for Attorney General. It is stunning to think, especially about the southern border aspect of this, because if you have a drug so potent and so deadly as fentanyl coming across the border in these numbers, and you're not having an administration addressing that in any real cohesive way, that's deeply troubling. So just one final question relative to the interplay between or interactions between the Attorney General and the state, or for the state of Colorado and the federal government. How would you act on behalf, in cases like fentanyl and others, on behalf of the state of Colorado and the people of Colorado, and issues like this that matter so much and that the federal government has a role in?
It's a great question, Jimmy, because I think that's a key distinction between someone like me and someone like our current Attorney General, who I think is largely driven by politics rather than public safety. You know, I think you will be hard-pressed to see someone like Phil Weiser, you know, challenging the Biden administration on their, you know, lax approach to enforcing the laws at the southern border. And of course, we saw Mr. Weiser would file any and all kind of case against the Trump administration, but we don't hear them, or our governor for that matter, talking about, you know, our state's interest in securing that border to protect our citizens. You know, that's something that I am absolutely willing to do, is to bring that fight and that message, really that advocacy for the people of Colorado, to the federal level to say, look, we need to secure the southern border for that purpose. And there's no, you know, surprise here that with the change in the administration and the change in the way that they approach the southern border, that coincides with the flooding of our streets of this drug. I mean, a couple months ago, my organized crime unit, working with the DEA and other local law enforcement agencies, we took over 110,000 pills off the streets from a Mexico cartel-based organization. So it's flooding our streets because of that sort of open border approach to the south.
We're out of time here, John Kellner, so I want to ask you to let our listeners know, please, where people can go to learn more about you and your campaign, and also a final message about why they should get involved in this attorney general's race, why it's so important for Colorado, because you are going to be the nominee, which I'm enthused about, by the way, because of the experience and background that you bring to the table.
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your support. Anybody that wants to help my campaign can go to johnkellner.com, sign up for our newsletter, sign up for our email list, you know, volunteer. That's johnkellner.com. And the bottom line is, you know, we are facing a crime tsunami in Colorado that is not going to go away until we have leadership at the top of our state government that stands for public safety all the time, and not just in an election year when it is, you know, convenient and people are focused on it. You know, we are not going to turn the tide on the rise in violent crime until we make this a primary focus, and that is what I'm going to do.
John Kellner, everybody, thanks so much, my friend, for joining us today, and we'll see you in a couple weeks at the Republican State Assembly.
Sounds good, Jimmy. Take care. Thank you.
Once again, Republican candidate for AG, John Kellner, joining us. Make no mistake, Phil Weiser has got to go. He's a nice guy. I've had good, cordial conversations with him in the past, but he is ill-equipped for this role. And as John pointed out, the fentanyl crisis underscores that. Check out his column, by the way. Guest column along with DA Michael Allen in the Denver Gazette. Fentanyl crisis needs stronger legislation. Keep it right here. We'll wrap up this hour and then Heidi Ganahl at the top of the hour right here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Coming back, best damn bumper music known to man, nearly 9 years running on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Little blind Mississippi Morris bringing us back. There's some really good harp playing, harmonica playing that goes on in that tune called Going Back to Louisiana. Good to be with you on News Talk 710 KNUS. We were just talking about the fentanyl crisis with John Kellner. I think we'll ask one of the candidates running to be governor of Colorado, Heidi Ganahl, at the top of the hour about what's happening with fentanyl. But here's CNN reporting on the crisis at the southern border and how drastic it has become.
U.S. officials are scrambling to prepare for a record-breaking surge of migrants attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border this spring. In a CNN exclusive interview, the chief of Border Patrol says he is bracing for a staggering 8,000 apprehensions a day.
And so what the Border Patrol has had to do is prepare for the event that there will be many more people coming in the next few weeks. And they are already, by the way, Brianna, over capacity. This week they had 16,000 people in custody in their facilities.
8,000 apprehensions per day and over capacity in their facilities. When you hear CNN report that, you know that the crisis has gone so far gone. And when we talk about fentanyl pouring over the southern border, coming up into Colorado, killing more Coloradans aged 18 to 45 than any other cause of death. As John Kellner and Michael Allen both write in their guest op-ed for the Denver Gazette on, I think it was Thursday, since 2015, Colorado has suffered 1,578 fentanyl deaths, a number equivalent to the enrollment at Denver South High School, and amounts to a staggering 1,008% increase. This is stunning. These numbers are stunning. The southern border is in crisis and must be addressed. And here's something from my friends at Critical Mass that does sort of underscore the nature of the crisis.
In a time of deep crisis, one man led his people to freedom.
My fellow countrymen, it's time for us to find a new home. Does everyone have their legal documents?
No.
Perfect. Let's go.
It was a Mexodus.
Oh, no! Mose, how are we going to get across the river?
I don't know. He's a big river. Let's take the tunnel.
Mexodus, co-starring Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Holy Moses! They're pouring across the border like someone busted open a piñata!
Sheriff Arpaio, we are only here to work. Let my people mow!
Mexodus, now playing out. by the border.
Now it's gotten much more serious, much more of a fever pitch. Good to be with you, the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Coming up on the other side, Heidi Ginnall. Then my column yesterday on Beth McCann, DA, with a double standard. Keep it right here. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.